Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. I am well. How are you?
Did you enjoy your week off last week when we didn't have a show? Did you do anything special?
Yes, I was putting my apartment together.
And you were thinking, how great is this that I can do this without stopping to do a show tonight?
I was putting my apartment together, and I was cursing my wife because she gets these things in her head of, oh, hey, why don't we do this? And when she says we, she means me. So, yeah.
Okay. And did you get it done, what you were supposed to get?
Oh, yeah, I got it done. Of course, I always get it done. She's like her grandmother. She's got this like passive aggressive tone that she gets when she wants something. So it's like, instead of just saying, hey, can you do this? Or she'll say, you know, why don't we do this? Like I said, and then like, I'll go and do it. And then she'll go, oh, you're doing it that way. And I went, what, would you like me to do it a different way? No. I'm just asking. And then like a couple of minutes will go by and she'll go, well, just out of curiosity, why are you doing it that way? And I'll be, I change the game plan, do it however she wanted me to do it, and that's it. And her grandmother does that. Her grandmother does that. So I go,
really?
Instead of being nanny, that's what I said. Oh, my God, she's horrible. She's horrible like that. So I said, instead of being nanny, why don't you just tell me how you want me to do it, and I'll just do it. And she goes, yeah, but we're doing it. I'm like, okay, fine, we're doing it. Just tell me how you want me to do it. And that's it. But, yeah, no, we had fun. We had a good time getting the apartment together. It was a very, very nice night. It was one of those nights, ironically enough, she didn't have rehearsal on Thursdays. So, you know, we got to spend a little bit of quality time together in addition to putting the house together. So it was nice.
Oh, good.
And how was your staycation?
Of course, it was a nice week weather-wise last week. So
oh,
that was
God.
Good.
Let me just tell you something. My wife came inside one day and she was cracking up, and I was like, what's so funny? She goes, did you see Cindy's picture? And I said, what do you mean Cindy's picture? And she's like, you have to see this picture of Cindy. It's the most adorable picture. She absolutely loved the picture of you on the big chair.
Oh, the one at the Dublin deck. I know. I had to climb up on it because I had like a Lily Tomlin moment. You know, I was like, this is really great. You know, and, you know, hardly anybody ever climbs up to take a picture on it, but I think it's like, doesn't it invite you to climb onto that, like, big, big chair and, you know, feel
you
like a little,
be.
Little person?
You should
right.
be doing
I mean,
that, you know. I mean, it's great. But she,
well,
she
that's
got
at the Dublin
a
deck
out of you in that chair.
And if you ever go there, you'll sit in a chair with her.
I'm going to sit.
And really enjoy it, won't you? Won't you enjoy it?
Hell yes.
So, yeah, we had a little bit of fun here and there. We were in Montauk a little bit, too, so it was nice.
Saw.
It was nice to get a vacation, you know.
You deserved it. I mean, you were running yourself crazy with the play and everything.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I'm still trying to swing back from that, you know. It's like, it'll happen, you know, it'll happen, you know, so.
No, you'll acclimate. Then we're going to be like, oh, yes, I did.
Yep, but it's so funny because we're always doing too much. So that's why it was nice to have a few days off. But, you know, when you're running around on vacation, you also get tired too. You know, I think I just need like a week to sit in the walk-in closet and do nothing. You know, don't bother me. I'm just sitting in the walk-in closet for a week. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what? Like,
I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here in my closet.
Yep.
So we have a lot of callers tonight, and I guess a lot of them know to press the number one if they want to talk to us.
This always happens whenever you take time off. Everybody comes back with a vengeance. So
they must
that's
have missed
where,
us.
Look
that's
at this,
good,
and look, you said press the number one, and 10,000 lines just lit up for me.
Wow. And here we go. So I guess we'll just go to the first one.
Yep.
And,
if there's nobody in particular that has emailed you, Cindy, then yeah, we'll go
okay,
to the
Okay, yeah, we're
going to
try to get
been...
Sal, like maybe, you know, he's the I think it's a 805 number, not 248 that we see over here. But, you know, I'll tell you when Sal calls because I promised him I would let him get through today because he's been calling every week and we haven't been able to put him through. So he's
okay,
getting married
good.
In the next 2 weeks or so. So, I think he needs us.
Oh, definitely. I would imagine so. That's a big time for him. So, okay. So, guys, as usual, we're going to go into the first caller. Hopefully we will get somebody normal because, as usual, I don't screen the first caller. I will call you out by reciting the last four digits of your number. So when you hear me say those things, please answer me. I'm going to jump into the chat room to start screening some calls, and let's see who's waiting for us at 6522. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, hello. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida. How are you?
Oh, good. So you're in Florida. So nice. And, boy, you're really good. You're like a professional. Have you called into shows before? You sound very professional.
I called you about a month ago, and I was just calling to give you an update.
So it is the same, Leslie. That's what I thought. So why don't
you
tell us what we were discussing and give us an update, and we'll see if we can help you in any way, too.
Okay. So the last time I called, I was talking to you about maybe switching jobs because I wasn't sure about my company and the layoffs and that I thought that were going to happen. And lo and behold, the following week I got let go.
Uh-huh.
So,
and what was I telling you? When your gut tells you you're going to get laid off, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And so what have you been doing
since? I handled it fine. I mean, I always believe that everything happens for a reason and stuff. And it's all part of God's plan. And I've just been interviewing and going on different job interviews and applying for different things online and stuff like that. So basically, my dad came through also the last time and he had some things that he wanted to tell me. So I wanted to know, what to expect of what's coming up then.
Okay. And, you know, when the narcissist, the manipulators sort of, you know, look like they're hurting us by, like, maybe taking our job or taking a person that we think is the person we're supposed to be with, it's usually the universe's way of kicking us forward. I mean, it was time for you to move on. And, you know, I love this. I got the Ace of Pentacles, which is a brand new job and a good job, and the Queen of Pentacles next to it. So you won't be out of work for long. Are you putting your resumes out there now?
Yes.
Okay. And are you trying for the same type of job, or are you trying for something a little different?
Trying for something different.
Because the Ace of Pentacles is usually a different job, okay? So I'm glad that that's, you know, if you wanted to stay in the same field, I go, this wouldn't be a good card for you. But if you really want to change, this is a great card. And have you tweaked your resume to be able to make those changes or,
Yes, I've tweaked it. I have several versions of my resume out, and depending on what position I'm applying to, I may send one or the other.
Okay, good. And it looks great. Did you get any signs from your dad yourself since we talked?
No, but I have been doing what you told me to do, which is, you know, bring him along on any interviews that I go on, you know, so that he talks to whoever I'm interviewing with and, you know, puts positive vibes into the room and stuff like that. I haven't met him in a dream like we talked about the last time.
Which you might try to do. It takes a little
takes
a little getting used to astral projection, actually visiting the dead, you know, going to a mutual plane where you could meet. Most people get scared and they sort of wake up when it happens. So, you know, I think if you're just a little patient, it will happen. And, you know, what's with your love life, by the way?
Oh, I don't have one.
That's what I thought. Because when the universe shakes up your whole world, like including your job, it looks like your dad not only wants you to get a better job, but he wants you to have a relationship. So, you know, you'll meet all new people and expand your world, and it looks like love will be in the horizon for you too. I don't know if you want it, but it looks like your dad would love to bring it. I think he would kind of rest a little more in peace if he thought you had somebody good by your side. And this is someone he would like to bring for you. Are you receptive to love at all?
You know what? I kind of like put that in the back burner, so that is like my number one priority. I figure that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, but I'm not doing anything actively to allow it to happen.
Well, and why do you think that your dad has to get you in a whole new world for you to meet this person? Like, if you're not going to go out to find it, you know, your father has to bring you into the mountain. So,
right.
And I think that, you know, it's a really good year ahead for you. There's a lot of changes. And, you know, older souls tend to get very nervous during times of change. And also, they like to pay their bills. So if they're not working, they get nervous. But I would advise you to kind of enjoy the downtime, because once you get this job, you're going to be working a lot. So are you trying to enjoy any of it?
I am. I have relaxed a little bit. I've gotten a couple of doctor's appointments out of the way and done things the way that I want to do it, done some early pre-holiday cleaning and sorting of things, getting rid of things. So I've done a little bit of everything. So I'm in a good mood, in a good spirit. I didn't take this at all in any sort of negative way. I know that when one door closes, another one opens. So I've always had a positive outlook from the time that, you know, that I got laid off. Never had a negative outlook, and I've been relaxed.
Good. And it's something to get used to in America. When you work for other people, it's usually every 3 to 5, 7 years, you have to look for another job. It's kind of the nature of it. Just get used to it. But usually, you know, what I always see with my clients is that they get a better job. So this is a really nice job for you. You actually have a very nice 2018 opening up. So, your dad seems to be very positive about what's happening for you. So, I'm glad that he he's here again for you. So do us a favor and call in when you get this job. And, remember, sometimes you have to tweak a resume for each job. Like, if it's a little bit different, you sometimes tweak it if you need to.
Right.
You know, it's not, or the, at least the cover letter, you know, tweak it a little bit. So, you know, because people have trouble figuring out that you can do more than one thing. You know, it's almost like you get typecast in one thing, and it's hard for people to envision you somewhere else. So if you can make that vision for them, it makes it easier. You know, you make the bridge between the two jobs, you know, what you think it is. So I think you're very good at that. You sound very, very smart, and I hope you deal with people, because you have a really great speaking voice and you're very smart. Do you like to deal with people?
I do like to deal with people. All my jobs have been customer service oriented in one form or another. So, you know,
I could see that. You're really calming. You have a great voice. You're intelligent. So all that's going to come through in the interview too. So you'll do us a favor and call in and let us know when this dream job comes. And we want to hear when love comes too. You know, you're like, well, I don't really care, but you'll be like surprised when it comes.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be a surprise, because, like I said, I haven't been thinking about that. But that's the same thing you told me the last time when I called, that my dad wanted me to get involved, you know, and he wants to bring me.
I know, he's saying
life,
it again.
So.
I never remember what the dead people say, because I speak to so many. But, when they say it again, I'm like, you got to know it's coming, because they wouldn't say it a second time, you know. They wouldn't keep saying it. So, you know, and again...
Okay.
a good person beside you would only add to your life. It's not somebody that you're going to have to worry
right.
about, take care of. I mean, who wants that?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know. Yeah, I mean, if you got to add to my life, or you're not welcome. So
exactly.
Well, keep us posted, and thank you so much for
thank
sharing
you.
Your story. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Now, it's funny because you don't ever want to be right about somebody being laid off. Those are the ones I wish sometimes I was wrong about. You know, certain things you like.
Yeah.
But it's always better to kind of get a heads up on things, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, and then you can kind of, you're a little bit more prepared.
You know what? It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you want to know, but you don't want to know. You know, but the more prepared you are, especially for something like that, the better. There's never enough information, especially when it comes to preparation for that.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, it's been a little bit hard week of readings when I came back. You know, people seem to be very despairing. I'm not sure if it's something in the air. I'm not sure if it's the political climate. I'm not sure what's going on. But it's been so many people that just feel like they're almost at the edge, like they can't cope anymore. So I'm always telling people, you know, you got to just find that hope or find that positive energy somewhere, because then life will change. You know, once you really give in to, like, the negativity, it just gets worse. It just
everything
gets worse.
Everything is negative.
So,
that's the problem. Everything is
right.
negative. You go out, you go on Facebook, it's negative, 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 and it's people commenting on political things that have no business having an opinion or sharing their opinion or having people feed their opinion. You know, it's you turn on the news and it's how many people got killed today. You know, it's I think overall there's a very, very negative sort of air. And I think that people are just getting tired of trying to fight the good fight.
Wow. And, you know, I'm always, you know, I it's funny because I took like 6 days off. And when I came back, I was like, I really thought the first day, this is a hard job. You know, I almost, when you're in it, you just forget. But when you take a break for 6 days,
I was like,
because I wasn't so good at, you know, blocking some of the energies or feeling the sadness of people. So it took me by surprise for 2 days until I was able to then sort of put that. It's not really a wall, but it's a way of like, this is not my pain and I have to separate from it.
Mm-hmm.
But the first 2 days I wasn't able to do that. I don't know why. It just didn't come right up that, you know, that kind of. So it was very, very hard. And I'm just saying, if you're really going through a hard time and things look really bleak and sad and hopeless, that's when you have to find the will to go on. I mean, you saw the Beethoven play. That whole theme was to be or not to be. And, you know, he was constantly saying, I wrote music to give people the will to live even when all hope was gone. And it seemed like almost ironic that play we just did, and then all these callers are almost that, you know, should I stay on earth, shouldn't I stay on earth, and all of that. So,
it's crazy.
So even if you find you listen to music or you do something, you go for a walk, you have to look for something good and positive in the day, because, you know, when we're in that despairing mode, nothing seems beautiful or good, not even a beautiful summer day, not even a flower, not even. So it's finding that beauty somewhere that gives you that little hope to hang on.
And sometimes
important.
people have got to remember that beauty, sometimes it doesn't just jump out at you. Sometimes you have to actively look for it. You know, it's not, you know, some people will just kind of like look around, oh, yeah, you know, what is there, you know, what really is there? Well, look for it. Look for the beauty. You know, I mean, it's not everything is meant to be easy. Not everything is just going to be shown to you. This is not, you know, this is not some sci-fi movie where you're just going to have an epiphany like you're watching it on TV and things like that, or where the beauty's just going to pop out at you, or like a fairy godmother's just going to pop out at you. Sometimes you have to find it, and sometimes it's your job to find it, okay? And it's your job to go outside of your comfort zone to find that little bit of beauty in your day. It may not present itself outwardly. You have to look for it. And the reason why you have to look for it is because the more you look, the more you'll find, you know, to the point of where then it's not going to be such a chore to look. But you do need to put in the work, like with anything else. You got to put in the work. I was talking to one of the girls at work yesterday, and we had a meeting, and she normally does not come in, and she's a friend of mine outside of work as well. And, you know, in the meeting, she was very, very, very negative, and she was negative in front of people that were from outside of our company. And at one point in this meeting, I texted her, and I had to put her in her place. She's kind of works under me, and I'm training her to do a new job, and, you know, and I texted her to keep her mouth shut. And when I went back over near her desk after the meeting, she was like in hysterics, and she's in hysterics about money and blah, 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 and my rent is due on Friday, and then I only have $12 to my next check and this and that. And I said, well, what do you have to look forward to? I said, I get that money is tight and that you did not budget properly, and that's really the issue here. You did not budget your money properly. I said, but what really, you know, what do you have good? She goes, I have nothing good in my life. And I looked at her, I said, I'm going to smack you. Just like that, I said, it, like, and now this girl last year was in a hospital with leukemia, with cancer. She beat fucking cancer.
Wow.
And she's sitting here saying that there's nothing beautiful in her life. Are you, because she might be late on a car payment? I was like, are you kidding me right now? You kicked cancer's fucking ass and you can't find fucking beauty? I was
and
like,
remember,
no.
Cancer is
like,
a wake up call. Of a lot
yeah.
of anger stuffed down and anger.
Yep.
So if
yep.
you're, you know, and she may have woken up when she had the cancer, but now that the cancer is beat, she's going back to the
yep.
mindset that caused it. And that's dangerous because I always tell people,
mm-hmm.
if you had a major illness, you know, and most major illnesses we give ourselves, I mean, sometimes we get cancer for exposed to mesothelioma or something like that. You know, we have asbestos or whatever. If we were, but for the most part, that's not the case. So it's almost you needed to give her that wake-up call, like be positive. This isn't good.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes we're late on a payment. Sometimes these happen. But, you know, don't so despair and get in that mindset that,
oh
you
my
know,
God.
Because
well,
it becomes
she's also very, very
downhill.
Empathic. She's also very,
oh,
very
boy.
Empathic, too. And I looked at her one day, and I, because she came into work absolutely fine, and all of a sudden, like, two people got fired that day. And then we had a meeting, and the meeting was not a good meeting because it was about more people getting fired. And she was at her desk again,
oh,
bawling.
Boy.
And I'm like, you do realize that you're not feeling your feelings right now, right? And she looks up at me all puffy-eyed and tears. She's like, what? I said, honey, I said, you're not this upset because you were just told that your job is safe. I said, you're feeling everybody else's feelings in this entire fucking wing. I said, you need to hit the switch. And she's like, I guess that makes sense. And I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm like, do me a favor.
I know,
go
and that's why it's important
and take
to
a
block
breather.
Pain. That isn't yours. And I said,
yes.
I can't believe how good I'm normally at it because I'll tell you, the first 2 days of coming back to work, you know, it was such despair.
Oh, it's difficult.
Such
it is
despair.
Difficult. It's not
and
as easy
I
as
didn't
it
have
does.
That blocking up. And I was like, I can't do this for a living. I can't do this. It's too much. Now I'm back with the block up there. But it was like, I think once in a while, the universe really wants me to see what I'm actually dealing with when you know, when you're in something, you don't always see it anymore. You're sort of,
yes,
you get almost callous. I don't mean in a
mm-hmm.
bad way. I mean, it's just, but I just, if, whatever message I think, you know, tonight I wanted to mention on the show, if you're going through a really hard time, if it all looks bleak and dark and awful, you have to start by doing one positive thing each day or looking for some beauty. Because when you're lost in your head, and most of the time, it's in our head that everything is so bad. And when it's so bad in our head, we can't make it better outside. So find something, even if it's listening to a beautiful piece of music or, you know, listening to a song you like that's upbeat or watching a movie that makes you laugh. Do something that
yep.
changes that energy in your head a little bit. Because if you mm-hmm. don't do that, it's just a quick spiral downward. And it's not like I haven't been in that in my life when I was younger.
We've
and
all
that's
been
why
there.
I'm trying to point it out that, you know, you can get through these things. And as bad as it looks, it can get better, but not if you're going to, you know, build a case that, you know, your life sucks, and it does. It's hard. We're here for, like, learning lessons. This isn't Disney World here. It's not the way we're on Earth, okay? But if we can find the positives in the lessons that we need to learn, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot easier. Otherwise, it's just you're just fighting the nature of life. It's a lot of injustice. It's a lot of unfairness. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of doing a lot of stuff we don't want to do and seeing a lot of people we don't want to see, unfortunately.
Yep.
But somehow in that chaos, finding peace in your head is very important. So I think that's my mantra for today. Find some way to make something in your head happier. You know, enjoy your meal you're eating, whatever. Go for a walk. But also, if your own life is so bad, then go help somebody else maybe a little bit. You'll be surprised how helping someone else makes you feel a lot better. Just, you know, take it outside of you. You know, go volunteer in a soup kitchen. Do anything that you see other people who are suffering and help them, because it's kind of, if we're all lost in our own head, it just doesn't get better life. It's figuring out what I can do maybe to help someone else, and maybe indirectly, then it'll help you. So I find that's my little bit of my.
Or if you have that little bit of, like, there's a saying, and I forget who says it. It's something along the lines of, you know, when you think that you're looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, remember there is no light at the end of the tunnel. You are the light. You know, so when you feel like you're in that situation where it's just nothing but dark, guess what? We all have the ability to shine in some way. So figure out what your way to shine is and just do it. And if there is no light, create that light, you know. And if you can't do it for yourself, and if your situation is a little bit gloomy or a little bit sad or even out of your control, you can always control how you deal with those situations. You could always control your reactions to those situations. And if your reaction is saying, I'm not dealing with this situation, so I can go do something else for a little while and get my mind off of it, then that's your right to do it, so that you can come back in a more constructive way to deal with that situation within yourself and within your life. You know, you don't have to sit there and wallow. You know, but be the light. Be your own light. Don't look for it elsewhere. Just like you can't look for your happiness in anybody else, you can't look for your light in anybody else. Sometimes you just have to be your own light.
And find it wherever it is. Now, we're going to try to go to Sal first, then we'll go to Alexa, and we'll get Claudia, okay? Promise we'll get them all.
Yes, ma'am.
But, okay, and Sal is the 3622. Can you see it? You know, it's at the bottom, and I have to always tell people, after about 15 minutes, sometimes we can't even see the bottom numbers. I don't know how to get them on my computer.
Which is probably why Sal hasn't gotten through, because normally I know where.
Because after it, they go down, and for some reason on our computer,
they just go all the way down
and get
to them.
We can't get them. I can't scroll it down. I don't know if it's a mistake.
Well, you can scroll, but you can only scroll so far before it goes to another page. So once you get that far down the list, unless we start weeding through callers and people start disconnecting, we can't get to some of those second page callers. But all right, so 3622, we are going to Sal, and we're going to see what Alexa and Claudia have to say after Sal. So let's check out Mr. Sally Boy.
Sal.
Hello, Sal. You are on the air.
Hello. How are you?
So you're going to be a married man in a few weeks, huh?
I wish people would send back their invitations with their names on it so I can tell who's coming and who's not.
Well,
I can't
even say anything
about that crap because I never RSVP.
No, I did RSVP, but I think he thinks I'm the one who did it. It didn't have the name on the invite, is that what? And then I just put it back in the card?
Yeah, there's a card in there that you know, you're supposed to send back, you know, and write your name across there. And I got like four or five of them with a yes, but no names. And then I go to look at the post stamp, and it all comes out of the same place.
So you can't – were they all Patchogue people that did this?
It wasn't even Patchogue. I think it goes through a clearing thing because they all said Middle Island.
I know, but so did you figure it out? It might have been me. I said it could, because if you didn't get one that had my name on it, then it was definitely me, because Did it say
well,
two
you
people?
And it wasn't only you. It was you and a couple other people. And I'm going down and I'm calling everybody. And like, I was like, what is so hard about writing your name on something? I don't understand.
I think when we do everything fast, we don't read the whole thing. You know, I wanted to make sure I got it back and let you know we were going, So that's what happens when you do stuff.
I got it narrowed down anyway.
Okay,
you know what?
I was calling
in to tell you that basically I was listening to everything you guys said, about finding happiness and all this stuff. I guess my friend John, I guess everybody knows John, he got back together with his girlfriend now, finally. After 7 months of everything, I helped
agony.
Him as much as I could. I guess I helped as much as I could, which kept me occupied away from my problem. But like you said, I'm getting married. I should be happy. But I'm not because I'm thinking my son, and he's supposed to be the best man, and he's not here, and, all this type of stuff. So that's what I was calling in to see if he talked to you or...
You mentioned John because they did get back together. And I'm sorry he didn't call into the show and let us know because all of our steady listeners would have loved to hear him.
He leaves it all
up to me.
He's
happy for a change.
Yeah.
He used to call me 7-8 times a day. I barely hear from him anymore. He's very self-centered. It was all about him. I put my whole life aside, but my problems are my life. When I try to talk to him about it, this is a guy I know for 45 years, he was, but what about me? What about me? I'm sorry. But what about me? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, he should have shared it with us since we lived through the despair. But now it was a distraction for you, and, I think your son Sal liked that you had a little bit of distraction from missing him, since he's been gone now 2 years. He passed away 2 years ago.
August 21st was the anniversary, yeah. You know what?
He had an eclipse on his day, huh?
Yeah, it was that. And then I had a big barbecue Sunday. All the kids, his friends came over. And Rose had bought these air balloons that you light these little candles and they blow up and everything. And I tell you the strangest thing, we all went down to the beach because it says do it over water or whatever. And the first ones that took off was my son's, Kyle. The second one that took off was Sarah's. Everybody else was having a tough time. So I gave up, and I said, it's not going to work. Like, no, Dad, you can't leave until you do this. I said, it ain't working. It's not working. We lit this thing. It started to go down in the water, and it was the weirdest thing. All of a sudden, this thing just took off. And my daughter started, she looked at me. My daughter looked at me, and she said, Dad, he's messing with you. And I was
right,
like, there's
of course,
no
he
way.
Wanted to,
Of course,
he wanted you to get to laugh about it later on. They like to spoof with us. They like to have fun. He just wanted you to know he was there and appreciating it. He will be at your wedding, and we'll look for the signs when we're there. But he will be there. He wants you to leave a plate for where he can be sitting and. Put a drink there too, would make him very happy. But he wants to know he's going to be at the wedding, and
it'll be there. And you said you said when I text messaged you, he wanted a cake. I had to laugh because that's all he ever used to say. What do you want for your birthday? He goes a cake.
I know because when you asked me what does my son want for his birthday, he goes cake. What cake? So that's why I had to email it back to you. I'm like, your son wants cake, and I don't think you were going to have one, and he wanted to make sure. Yeah. That there was cake, that everybody had a piece of cake. And again, that's from the other side. Think about it. He's not telling you he wants anything elaborate or you should have anything elaborate. He's trying to tell you, have a piece of cake. Like, simple things. Enjoy a piece of cake. That can make your day better or brighter. He wanted people to enjoy a piece of cake. Now, that shows the kind of person that your son was. He didn't want anything for him. He wanted you guys to enjoy cake. And, he knows that you would get that message loud and clear. I said, are you sure that's all you want? He goes, just put cake, okay? Is what he said to me. Okay, put cake. And I'm like, okay, that'll put cake. Thank you.
I've just been worrying about it. And, I'm stressing out. There's a lot of stress with this wedding and planning. And
it's supposed to be a party with all your friends and your family. Remember that. Remember, I only got married 6 years ago. And the caterer was so, up my butt, and I kept saying, it's all paid for. I told you, it's not about me. It's about my guests. Please leave me alone. And if you want a tip, you'll leave me alone, and you'll focus on my guests, please. It's about them. It's a party. And he kept bugging me. I go, I don't care if you drop the wedding cake, okay? Leave me alone. You know, so it's a party. And it's a party for, look, at our wedding, there are people in the that were at a wedding that are dead now. We would not ever get together with TJ's mother again or other people that have passed since the wedding. So it's one of the times where you're going to be with a lot of people that you may never be in the same room with all these people ever again. Or so your son is saying, enjoy the day. It's a celebration. It's a party. And
what?
Don't stress it out. You lost your son. That's a big one. You know, the wedding is going to be great. We're all going to have a great time. Everybody loves you and wants to be there and celebrate your love. And
I just pray September 17th is warm weather and it's not raining.
Okay, mine was a nor'easter, okay? That we had a drought.
I remember that.
Okay, we had a drought, and it was a nor'easter. We had like 5 inches of rain, and our wedding was at the water. People got in car accidents. I was 45 minutes late because there was an accident on Sunrise Highway, okay? 45 minutes late to my own wedding. I'm never late for anything. TJ was, every time she's not showing up, and I said, would you people
you
all leave me alone? I have to get
to
ready.
Wedding.
They were like, and I'm like, I'm not even supposed to be here. Nobody's even supposed to see me yet. So why did you all, they kept calling me every second. I'm like, are you people crazy? This is not making me get any
faster
ready.
I'm late to everything. I am absolutely chronically late to everything. And I was running late to Steve's wedding, and I was cruising. I was getting there regardless, like, oh, my God, we're going to miss it and this and that. I got there, and I hear everybody whispering, and all of a sudden I hear from somebody in the back, what do you mean Cindy's not here? I was like, oh, God.
I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
My ex looked at me, and we were like, Jesus.
What am I supposed to do if I got my hair done in Islip and there's an accident and Sunrise is closed? What am I supposed to do? Fly? And I kept telling people, I refuse to get upset. I'm saying, if I'm calm over this.
You're a psychic. You should have seen this and, you know, adjusted accordingly.
Knowing this was coming. Well, I had a funny feeling about it, and I was like, maybe, you know, and so I'd started the appointment early enough to get my hair just in case of this. But the girl booked somebody before me, and she was running late. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. So, again, what can you do? You can either get yourself sick or you could relax and enjoy. And your son promises.
I heard everything you guys were saying about, you know, finding joy and stop and smell the flowers in a roundabout way. And, you know, I was like, it's just something that hit me when you guys were talking. And I was like, you know what? They're right. Maybe I should stop and just smell the roses for a minute instead of always worrying them, you know?
Right. Now, that's what the dead tell me. They're always telling me, like, say you're in a traffic jam. Like I was. I was calm about it because the dead say to me, you can sit in here and get a stroke, or you could sit here and listen to your music for 45 minutes, but you get in there the same 45 minutes late. It's your choice. Stroke or relax with your music. Your choice. So I've learned if it's out of my control, relax. Do something. Find something positive because it has been, you know, in the air a lot of despair with people, and it just becomes a spiraling into darkness. So what your son is saying, Jad, when you're happy, I'm happy. Go fishing. Go sit outside. Go for a walk. You know, eat a nice meal. Have a drink. Have fun. He's happy when you're happy. When you're sad, he's sad. So you never wanted your son to be sad. I know you didn't.
No, I know you told me that. No, not at all.
And so, you know, don't feel guilty when you're happy either, by the way. Sometimes, you know, if you have an hour where you don't think about him and don't feel sad, that's good. That's good.
He's messing with me on the radio. A lot of these rap music songs come on that don't normally come on and stuff like that.
Of course.
Certain messages. You know, you're telling me that every time you come over here, he would be playing in your car on the radio wanting to listen to rap music. So,
yeah, and he puts the rap songs on, which I can't stand. And I'm like, if you're going to be in my car, you can't play the music. He keeps switching my radio station. I'm like, you can't do that. Or I'll put on a station that never has a rap song that I listen to all of a sudden rap comes on. Never has a rap song, ever. I'm like, and then he goes, well, it's your station, leave it.
That's what's been happening to me. But I wanted to ask you one question. Work related, how does work look for me, money-wise, things like that? And
everything was pretty good with you work-wise and everything else, by the way. So relax on that, too, please.
All right. And my ex-wife, you know, she's the mother of my kids. I still got love for her, but not – I mean, I didn't love with her, obviously, but
right,
I still love her. She's a mess. You know, she's falling apart over my son, and, you know –
But
and
your son
just,
said to me yesterday that his mother was a train wreck before he died, so don't put that one on me, okay?
No, I know that. He told me that all the time. But she's
I mean, he keeps saying,
lot.
And again, how come it's about her? And it's not about, you know, comforting her daughter or her other son or you. How come it's always about her is what your son's saying. He's pretty pissed, okay? It's always about her.
Oh,
how about
not,
her comforting her children?
Well, no, I understand that, but I told her, you know, she's not, she was leaning on my daughter for a while. My daughter's a mess, you know that. And I'm like, how's my daughter going to take care of her when my daughter can't take care of herself, and now her mother can't even take care of herself. So I feel bad about the whole situation. Now she's going to get divorced again from her second marriage, and she just can't figure it out. And I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to give her a vehicle that I got because she has no vehicle, and I feel bad that she can't get around. So I don't care about money or the car. But she's in a bad place, and I was just wondering if she's ever going to come out of that bad place, because it seems to me like if somebody doesn't pull her by her hand, she doesn't want to do anything.
And again, this is the people we're talking about. If you're going into despair, you got to start helping yourself. We can only help people who help themselves, because otherwise it's negative karma for us to keep rescuing people, and she has to clean up her act, your son said. Just a clean up around.
I know, but I don't want to have problems in my new marriage because of my old marriage.
Well, then you can't rescue her, okay? You got a new wife to take.
But I feel guilty if I don't do anything.
Okay. Notice how good people always feel bad. She's in the mess she's in because she made this mess, okay? So you can help her a little bit, but then you got to step away. Because you're only going to, it isn't, she'll only turn on you anyway, your son said. She'll turn on you anyway. So.
You're right.
You know, he
you're
said,
right.
you know, with
right.
her, she's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. So your son
yes.
is giving you
yes.
permission to walk away. He said, leave it to me. I'm supposed to watch over Mom. That's my job up here. Okay? You watch over
you
your
know,
wife, I'll watch over Mom.
It's funny you to say Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, because that's what we used to say all the time. And I'm surprised he said that, because we used to say, it's Karen before 3 and Karen after 3, because she likes to drink. She was normal from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock, but after 3 o'clock, it was a Dr. Jekyll, Mrs. Hyde fucking moment with her.
Well, that's what he just said. So, you know it's him, because I don't know about that, but that's what he said. Well, anyway, we're going to try to get the other two callers before we get bumped off of Blog Talk. I can't wait to see you at the wedding. We're going to have a lot of fun.
All right, and John's all good, but he's changed, so, you know, he shuts his phone off when he's with this girl, and it's a whole big, we'll talk about this maybe next week or something, but he's,
okay.
Who knows.
All right. Bye. Now, I'm going to go to Alexa, who I just met. She came for a reading 3 weeks ago, and she wanted to give a update. So, Nicole, maybe you can describe what she said to you, if you remember.
Of course. So as you said, Alexa met with you about 3 weeks ago. She wants to give you an update. She's going through a bad breakup, and you had told her that a soulmate might be very, very close by. And there's a guy in the picture now that she's speaking to, and she wants to know, could this be him? So here we
okay.
go. To Alexa. Hello, Alexa. You're on the air.
Hi.
Wow. Okay, Alexis. So, all right, did you break up with your ex now?
Yes, I did break up with him. But there has been a little bit of going back and forth. But for a good week and a half now, it's been quiet.
Okay, and so you're going to keep it quiet, I hope, because remember we described him as an unfixable.
Yep.
A narcissist who judged others, and I think your reading, it got through to you why he's
mm-hmm.
not fixable. And
yep.
it takes a while to break away from love when it gets toxic, so you got to kind of withdraw from him a little bit. And
right.
this other guy's been brought. Now, he could be a transition guy, which means helps you to move away from the guy you're with. He could
mm-hmm.
be the forever guy. It's a little early to tell, but do you feel a heart connection with this guy?
Well, so this is the thing. I really don't think I do. I feel in my heart that it's a transition guy.
Me too. That's what I'm seeing here too. But I don't like to like say it because right off the bat. But he's someone. Most women can't leave a man unless there's another man there. So the universe brings us, like, I would say your ex, I call him the heroin man. You were hooked on him after a while. He's not good for you, and you keep going back for more. You know, sometimes God brings us, like, a methadone man. You know, he probably isn't the knight in shining armor that's going to rescue us, because women have to rescue themselves. He could be more of the same. Maybe he has some of the same issues, maybe not. Maybe he's just a nice guy, a man to fit a plan, a nice guy to get you through this, but if once you've had a soulmate, and you and your ex were soulmates when you first met, so you know what soulmate feels like, heart, soul, mind, body.
Right.
So you really can't settle for less than that. But if I were you, I would look at this as a gift for the universe. Maybe it's a little bit of a distraction. Maybe it's just a little bit to give you strength and lean on and something to think about. So I wouldn't worry about it one way or the other. How did you meet him, by the way?
We met through a friend. I went out with my sister to a party, and he was there. You know what it is? He seems really nice. He seems normal, but I just don't think I feel it. Like, he's got, on paper, he's got my checklist, like good things that I would want in a person.
Right, that's
what
I'm seeing here.
So
he's a good guy.
He is. It's just that I don't feel that attraction.
Okay, and again, that's usually on the ladder of love, a man to fit a plan. Like if we had the old arranged marriages, he's the right size, shape, color, makes money, he's
right.
A good guy, he'd probably have a good life, but he could never become soulmate. And that's why I'm glad you called in, because sometimes after people have a soulmate love that goes toxic, they don't want to love that much anymore. They don't want to get in a mess like that. So they need a nice man to fit a plan or a woman to fit a plan, and they kind of rush in and marry that person. But the problem is, as a relationship coach, I later have to tell them, I can't make mediocre love soulmate. Soulmate can go down to mediocre, soulmate can go toxic, but a mediocre love can never become a soulmate. And so since he's a nice guy, I would give him a chance because, you know, you don't know, maybe your heart's a little closed yet, but usually with a soulmate, you have a pretty good indication, the recognition factor right away. But I would advise you, you know, go out with him a little bit, a few times, but if you really feel in your heart of hearts that this can't go anywhere, it's almost not fair to continue to date him because he could fall in love with you. Because if he's never had a soulmate, you're a beautiful girl. Remember, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're kind. You're old soul. We're easy to fall in love with older souls. We do what we say we're going to do. We're honest. We're good. So if he's never had a soulmate, after like 10 dates, he may think he's in love with you, and you know you could never feel that way. It will only make it worse. So it's kind of like give it a little chance, but it usually takes sometimes up to 3 months to really know definitively what somebody is, because all love looks about the same in the beginning. But if you feel at any time along the line that you just don't want to string him along because you don't want to hurt him, then, you know, stop seeing him. But, you know, he's definitely been brought to help you and to show you that there are good men out there. You know what I'm saying? There are men who...
That's what I feel. That's exactly how I feel with the whole situation.
So you're not so jaded where you think all men suck, there's no good guys. You know what I mean? That's simply not true.
No, I don't feel that way. I know somebody's there. I just want to know, is, like, he close? Like, am I going to meet him soon? It's just...
And there's always a period of time where after a soulmate love goes toxic, you really have to mourn for it. You have to feel the pain. You can't bypass the pain. You also have to learn the lessons in why it's not here and why it didn't work. And women have to stand on their own 2 feet without a man for a little bit. Otherwise, love will always go toxic. If you can stand on your own 2 feet, you will never let love go toxic again. You'll be like, no, I'd rather be alone than this. So the universe wants you to get strong onto yourself a little bit, but it looks like it's not, you know, they're not going to keep you waiting forever. I forgot how old you are. How old are you? I know you're young.
I'm going to be 24 this coming month.
Right. Young people never mind telling your age. You know, I don't know why anybody minds anyway. The village idiot could Google and find out how old you are. So you might as well just say it. But anyway, you know, the universe knows you want to be a mom and you want to be married and you want all that. So they're not going to let you wait forever. So just, you know, have fun. Get out there. Try not to talk to your ex, by the way.
I wanted to tell you something because I remember one of the things you said is he's going to try to play the sick card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to check. So like about a week and a half ago, he told me that he had to go back down to Florida. That's where he's from, because he had to have this surgery. So I just wanted to see, like, is this really going to happen? Of course, it didn't happen. And then he said he's going down this week for the surgery. I mean, I haven't spoken to him, but he told me back then he was going this week. And I was, do you know if he went or if he had a surgery?
Okay. And it looks to me, I wouldn't believe a word he's saying, okay?
Okay.
About stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it looks to me like he's manipulating you.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of surgery is he saying he's getting?
Well, it was something with that they said, like, I don't know, he's not getting enough oxygen to his heart or something like this. He made it sound like it was a very big deal, but then I said, if it's such a big deal, why would you wait 2.5 weeks for a surgery? You
and
know?
Why does he have to go to Florida?
Right, because he has his cardiologist down there. But it all doesn't make sense to me. So he said he was down there this week. I mean, I don't know. I have no connection with him now. So I was just wondering if you knew that he went there.
Yeah, it looks like he's playing up things to make you feel guilty, by the way.
Yeah.
And I know, and I would just like, you know, he's thinking that you're going to contact him, ask him how it went, all of that, okay? I wouldn't do that if I were you. And
okay.
He might make you feel guilty and like you're a bad person about it. But,
yeah.
You know, they play the sick card. They play the going to kill themselves card. They play all these cards that keep roping us in, you know, and, you know, just try not to think about that or think about him because he's a really big manipulator.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a little while to break away from someone you thought was going to be the one forever. And, but, you know, the things that showed up in his cards is you would not want to have children with this man or spend your life with him because you would have a life from hell. And if he does truly have a heart problem, I think it's God's way of saying you marry him. You try to marry him, he'll be dead before you walk down the aisle because God does not want you with
you
this guy.
You told me that last time. Yeah.
Oh, did I? Because all I'm seeing here is, you know, this is not good. So if you want him to live longer, stay away from him.
You said that to me. Wow. Yep.
And I told you, I know, as I said to Nicole earlier, I don't remember any readings because I do like eight to ten a day. So I have no recollection of readings. And it's just that the dead will come through and maybe tell me the same stuff to remind me. But it's all like I never spoke to you before. You know what I mean? So I don't remember telling you that. But what I could see here is if he wants to live, he'll leave you alone.
Okay.
You know.
Do you think he's going to leave me alone, or do you think he'll try to contact me?
It looks like he's going to contact you.
To be strong and stay away.
Stay away. It takes 3 months to break the addiction.
Yeah.
So if you go, every time you go back talking to him, you got another 3 months to go to get break up.
Okay.
So I would say if you're already broken up with him, you don't want to take a step back. It's just like heroin. If you clean from heroin and then you go back, you know, take a shot of it, it's going to take you a while to get clean again. So.
Yeah.
Just remember that, and he's trying to lure you back in.
Still, even though he's staying away for a whole week and a half.
Yeah, because he thinks that you'll miss him. Well,
and
keep
then
us
I just
posted.
Have one more question.
Sure.
Okay, this has nothing to do with that, but I'm actually out by my summer house right now, and the house that we're at was my grandmother's house. And it's so weird. Ever since she died, my mom always wanted to get rid of the house because she felt like, you know, my grandmother passed away and that was her pride and joy, and then there's no reason to have it anymore. But over the years, we've been going back and forth with it. We've tried to sell it, and all the houses sell. It's just our house can't sell. Does my grandmother want us to keep this house? Does she say
obviously
anything about it?
Okay.
Obviously.
Obviously. Wouldn't you like to own it someday?
Yes.
Okay, and so maybe you'll be able to buy it yourself.
Okay.
So, you know, just she doesn't, when they want something sold, they get it sold in a second, by the way. If they don't want something sold, forget it. It keeps falling through, keeps falling through, keeps falling through.
Right.
So, you know, are you happy? Do you feel her there when you're there?
Yeah, and now my parents are starting to think maybe this is something that we could take on, you know, as our family. But my dad is very conservative. He doesn't like to talk about it, but I love the house so much. So even we've been out here for the whole week. I keep talking to him about it. And like, he's like, it's not our house yet. And I'm like, but I love it so much. I know she doesn't want us to get rid of it. And I feel such a connection there that I want to move out here full time.
And where is it? What town?
Southampton.
Oh, of course. I mean, come on. Of course you want to move there. First of all, she doesn't want it sold now anyway, because you'll make more money. If you bought it and had it for years, you'd make more money later on.
Right.
She's just, it's a good investment, according to her.
Okay.
So, and, just keep us posted what happens, especially if you're starting to fall off the wagon and go back to
uh-huh.
him or anything. You'll get a reality check here, and Grandma will kick
good.
You in the head. You know, she'll
say
throw
anything?
You out of bed.
Okay.
She'll throw you right out of bed if you do that.
Okay.
So good luck to you, and thanks for calling in. We're going to try to get
you.
Claudia before they blow
okay,
us off the
great.
Show. Okay,
thank
bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Now, isn't she a doll, Nicole?
She's adorable.
Okay, so now we're going to have Claudia. So tell us about her. She's called in before.
Well, Claudia has also called in before, and she also spoke to you about 3 weeks ago, and she's been, having this whole situation, with the boyfriend and this and that. So she's given you a little bit of an update with that. But also, last time she spoke to you, she kind of wanted to move. She has this feeling that she needs to get away from where she's at. So initially she was talking New York, but after taking a trip to Florida, now she's thinking maybe she wants to move to Florida. So what do her cards say, Cindy? How is she progressing in this whole cosmological thing of hers? And is this whole feeling for her to move, is that the right move for her to make?
Good questions.
Hello, Claudia. You are on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Claudia. So you felt sort of like at home in Florida?
I felt very happy when I was there.
Okay. Now, could you get a job there?
That's the one thing, that I...
And that's a big one thing with Florida, because sometimes there's not work there. You know what I mean? So, you would do the logical steps of applying for something and then moving.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely like a 2 to 3 year goal. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like there's
good.
Certain things that I want to work on while I'm here first before I make that move. So...
It looks like it would be doable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're working on your love life a little bit. You out there doing that a bit?
Well, it's been very quiet.
I've
kind of given it a break. The person that I mentioned to Nicole was someone that I spoke to you about 3 weeks ago, but you got the devil card on him.
Oh, yeah.
And
I got it again, by the way.
Okay.
So it hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really heard from him. There was a tragedy in his family, actually. Someone died very unexpectedly, and that person actually happened while I was down there in Florida. The
universe made sure you weren't here to deal with this,
mm-hmm.
because that could
mm-hmm.
have sucked you right back into the mess
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with him. So who told you about it?
I saw it online. He posted something. He was just kind of, sharing that this uncle died. And I actually contacted him, to extend my condolences. So,
and then leave it at that, please.
Yes.
Okay, because people will play what I call the dead person card to get us back in their life,
mm-hmm.
the tragedy card,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need that with him.
Mm-hmm.
So try to stay away from him during this time,
mm-hmm.
because,
mm-hmm.
He will try to lure you back in. But I do see a soulmate card here, so, you're already, kind of wanting Florida and stuff like that, so... It may be that the person you're going to meet wants to go to Florida, has
mm-hmm.
business in Florida, has something. So, the fact that you're getting this Florida feeling is
mm-hmm.
something pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you know, it's very doable in the next couple of years for you to, because there's a move in your cards. So
right.
A lot of times when we just feel like we belong in a certain place, it's mm-hmm. because the universe is getting us familiar with where we might be heading toward
mm-hmm.
and going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Florida looks good. You should be able to get mm-hmm. a job there, it looks like. But, you know, keep looking for love, too. Don't give up on love, because I got the soulmate card here.
Okay.
And you don't want to waste any time with this other guy anymore. How long were you with him?
He wasn't actually a boyfriend. But I've spoken to you about him before, and maybe like 2 years ago I started talking
mm-hmm.
to you about him. And
yep.
You know, he would like ghost, and at that time you told me that, you know, he really did seem to have strong feelings for me, but because of his commitment issues, that's why he was so like, you know.
Running and ghosting, and that shows
yeah.
narcissism, which we must have discussed. I mean, mm-hmm. These ghosting guys come and go for years if you let them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I see him, you know, surfacing back if you want him to, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see him changing in his commitment issues. How old are you, Claudia?
I'm 37.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't want to wait forever for a man to make up his mind, do you?
No. Nope.
at this point in your life, you know what I mean? What if it takes him 10 years to figure out he wants to settle down? Do you want to wait 10 years?
No. No.
Good,
no.
Because, you know, I just see a nice man circling near here. And again, now Florida is just your way of knowing that, you know, your future probably is in Florida. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, your soulmate may, you know, say, let's go to Florida. You may both decide to go there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you liked it, and I'm glad you got that little feeling there that you were paying attention to.
Yeah, no, it just, it felt good, you know, kind of like it felt like, oh, you know what, I think I could move down here. I think I would like to live here, you know, so...
Oh, good. Well, call in again and let us know what happens with this guy, because I have a feeling he's going to start manipulating you again. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
He's showing up a lot, okay? So, you know, they usually lay low for a bit and then they're back. And, they, you know, of course, if he told you he's upset about his uncle and all that stuff, you might start talking to him again.
He, like, something really weird happened. I think he was, like, really upset, like, because it was very unexpected. It was, like, a tragic death, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was young, the uncle too. And he told me, like, all of a sudden he told me, I love you so much. But I feel like it's because he was like so upset.
Right. At the moment of people wake up, like Nicole was talking about her work friend that had cancer, and they wake up when tragedy happens.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
3 months goes by or whatever, and they're back to their bullshit. That's
yeah.
what I need to warn you about. But you also, you know, since his uncle passed, his uncle made sure this guy told you this, because his uncle feels like you should know that how he really feels.
Mm.
He loves you. He's just too
mm-hmm.
scared. So maybe karmically, his uncle made something right, because when you screw up a soulmate relationship because you're afraid, you won't be granted another one anytime soon, if ever, unless you say the true words, like he told you how he really felt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he can't step up to the plate, you don't think you're crazy now, like I made it all up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He had these feelings for you. So look at it as that, but
mm-hmm.
don't get lured back to him whatsoever.
Okay. Okay.
Well, call in again and let us know what happens, and we've got to close up our show before Blog Talk zips us out of here. So,
okay.
We don't want to not say goodbye. Claudia, call in again. We love you. You know that.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Nicole, thank you. And you noticed that little talk we had about despair and everything? It must have been
yep.
Val's son telling us to have that discussion. I don't know where that came from out of the blue. It just all of a sudden stuff started coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, why am I saying this? Why am I talking
people.
About this right now? Uh-huh.
Well, no, it's for you. Me too. Implanted thoughts in my damn head.
Uh-huh. Okay, can you just see how sometimes... You know, I just let it flow, whatever, and it all makes sense later on. So the
yeah.
thoughts, you know. But we're going to focus on being positive, looking for something good in
yeah.
our day. And, You know, if you want to look for bad stuff on Earth, boy, it's very easy to find. It's everywhere.
Oh,
looking for good stuff might take a little bit longer, but it's there too.
It's like,
you know,
Where's Waldo?
Even if it's just
it's like, where's Waldo?
Where's my 1 minute of happiness in the day? You know, where's my 5 minutes of happiness?
It's challenging to find Waldo, but you feel so accomplished when you do. So just
and also, if you're going to close it on, we're not looking for momentary happiness and pleasure in bad things like drugs and gambling and addictions. Okay, that's a momentary escape.
Absolutely.
We're not looking for that. We're looking for real moments of. Doesn't cost you money. Just look and find the beauty, and it's not destructive. Okay, you know.
Yes. You know? Not destructive. Nothing that's going to harm you or anyone else,
or
either
the planet
directly
or whatever.
You know. Make that clear now.
Okay, we're making that clear, right? You know. All right. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Nicole. I love you. I miss you, and I hope to see you soon too, in person.
I love you too,
everybody.
Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.